The you know, there is the I got a safe. Somebody just bought me a safer about a biography of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Reb Shlomo Zalman was nifted some 25 years ago, and a new safer came out about him. Isn't that incredible? 25 years ago, he was nifter. And there's a very beautiful story there, and I haven't fully processed it. But the story goes like this. There's a fellow called David Frankel, who was a Tohen. A Tohen is the equivalent of a barrister, of a lawyer. So if someone's got a serious case, you know, financial, monetary kind of din Torah, you don't want to do it yourself. You want to have a Tohen who is going to represent you in the Beis Din. It's the equivalent it's a Tohen. And that's what it's called, a Tohen Rabbani. And he was a Tohen Rabbani, and he was very, 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 very close to Shlomo Zalman. Very frequently he would discuss cases with him and ask aids and advice and discuss things with him. And at one point he went to Shlomo Zalman and he asked him about one particular case. Now, this case was a very, very heavy, the big boys who have these big financial machloikas, talking about huge losses on either side, massive, the big boys, and they had it in Torah. And one of the sides approached David Frankel to take one of the sides to return. And Reb Shlomo Zalman was a little bit familiar with the case, but he was familiar with the people involved. So Reb Shlomo Zalman told him, you ask him my advice. I think you should keep your fingers away from this case. Keep your hands away from this. And I don't think you should get involved in this. And David Frankel said, sure, if that's what the Rebbe says, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I will not accept this probably financially lucrative, probably engagement. But he said, I'm not going to, Shlomo Zalman says, don't get involved. He said he's not going to. But the next day he called up his, he said, I'm not taking this case. All right, he thought the story finished there, but the story didn't finish there, because in the afternoon of that very day, he gets a delivery, Swifty delivery. Yeah, is that what they call the Swifty deliveries? He gets a little package. What is it? He opens out the package. He sees that the sender, he says, Shin Zain Auerbach, I've forgotten now the street where he lived. Shin Zain Auerbach, he says, he got a letter from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, a little packet. He said, what did Shlomo Zalman send? He opens up the letter, and lo and behold, what's in there? The equivalent of, I think it was $3,000. $3,000, which was the amount of money that he would have made had he taken that case on. We're talking about, some 20, 30 years ago, $3,000, we're talking about big money. So he's saying, what's going on? Why is he sending me all that money? So without further delay, he went back to Shlomo Zalman, who lived in Shai Chesed, and he asked him, Shlomo Zalman, I don't understand, Rebbe, you sent me that money. Why are you actually sending me that money? So Shlomo Zalman explains, he says, I made you lose that kind of money. Had you taken the case, you would have been paid that kind of figure. You now, because I made you lose that money, I'm halachically obliged to pay you for that loss. You asked me my opinion, and I told you not to do it. So now you lost that case. So therefore, I feel bad. I feel that I have got to kind of make up for that financial loss that you did. He refused to take the money back. Of course, this fellow said, what do you mean? I asked you advice, and your advice is, it doesn't make any sense. He says, no, I made you lose that money, and I'm not going to take it back. And he was adamant, and he refused to take the money back. You are shocked about the story?
I don't like it at all.
Why don't you like it?
It's obvious why. He asked his opinion, and he wanted to do what he thought was the best.
So I introduced the story by saying I still need to process it. Yeah, that's exactly why as well. But I hear a little bit. I hear a little bit
he
because
didn't make him lose it.
He did. From his perspective,
he said it's better for you not to get involved.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, but either way, we see a certain godlessness in Shlomo Zalman, because Shlomo Zalman felt bad about it, rightfully or wrongfully so, but he felt really bad about this, and he refused to take the money back. And that must be pretty much all his savings. You know, I'm talking about Shlomo Zalman, who was a poor man.
You say my pan is not kosher, I have to throw it away now. Does that mean every rabbi says that? You're right.
It should be pretty much the equivalent. Okay, if you don't like that stuff, I'll tell you a quick one, another one which I thought was very sweet. Okay, a quick one, a very, very quick one before we proceed. Abshlom Zalman had a, was once invited for Din Torah, because I got this biography of Abshlom Zalman, so there's hundreds of stories. So there was this this edus by Kiddushin, and he was an aide together with Saul Gustman, who was also an aide. They were both invited to be aide. They both had to sign the ksuva, as is normally done. They were both aidem and they had to sign. And now the more b'chovadikah signature is the first one. First one who signs is more the first aide, and the second one is the secondary aide. And they were both aim, and Abshlom Zalman was given the cover to sign, and Abshlom Zalman said, "I'm not going to sign first." And so Av Gosman should sign the sign. Av Gosman said, "I should sign first? What do you mean? You should sign first." And they kept on fighting, "You should sign first." And they kept on. It was getting a bit silly. So Abshlom Zalman said, okay, you know what? I'll sign first. I'll sign. It's okay. You know, Moichel Tovis, I'll sign first. He took it and he signed and he gave it back to Abshlom Zalman. What did he do? He had signed the second one, and that's how he passed on to Av Gosman. I think that's very sweet. This one is okay. This one is accepted. Yeah, this one is okay. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, before we proceed to Siman Tov Rei Shmem, I want to, the Mishnah over here brings two interesting shailas, which he brings over here, and they're both very relevant. I want to quickly, so that's towards the end of Siman Tov Rei Shlamet Tes, he brings two questions. One of them is the following. He asks, what happens if somebody in the middle of, he brings it here, for no particular reason bringing it here, but that's what Mishnah discusses here. What happens if middle of a meal, or perhaps even, in the middle of the meal, you decide to go to somebody else's sukkah. So again, you made leishev, you ate in the sukkah, and now you decide you're going to somebody else's sukkah to complete the meal there. Say, to a rebbe, to a friend, or shevabach, whatever it is. You want to go now to a second sukkah elsewhere. Do you make a new leishev? Yes or no? Very common shaila. By leaving, exiting your sukkah, and going to somebody else's sukkah, but it's in the same... In terms of hamotzi and brach, it's fine because you had das. What?
Where, before you washed, you had in mind to finish somewhere else.
The point that you're referring to is very correct in terms of ilchis, because hamotzi in terms of benching. That's correct. So let's say he did have in mind, yes, I will complete the meal in somebody else's house. So in terms of benching, he'll bench there without any problems. In terms of leishev, though, what's the loch in terms of leishev? Does he make a new leishev in the second place? Yes or no? Yes. You say he should make a new leishev? So says the Chofetz Chaim. Mi sheholech ba'emtza sudasa letzukas chaveu dasa magnavom sha'afilim oyo bedaratu b'shas brocha sheholech ba'emtza suda. Despite the fact that he had in mind, he will eat the second part of the meal elsewhere in somebody else's sukkah. Nevertheless, he's going to make a leishev there, provided he eats there. Because the walking is an interruption. Of course, provided we're talking about eating something which requires a broch, right? If it just goes there and it doesn't eat anything, obviously it's not going to make leishev. But if he's going to complete the meal there by eating items which require leishev, he is going to make leishev in the second sukkah. Interesting shaila, which is pretty relevant. Now, the second shaila that he brings out over here is in terms of somebody who forgets to make leishev. That happens. So what happens? What happens if somebody ate in a sukkah? It happens. Suddenly he chaps, I haven't made leishev yet. Can he still make leishev? And if yes, until when can he make leishev? Until he finished eating. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Im shochach levorach leishev basukah, she is chilechol yevorach achkach al ma shiroy tzilechol." He can still make. Now, what happens if he benched already? Tough. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Filo achal kvar ubiach bekes amozoid." Even if he said bekes amozoid already, he has benched. Yochel levorach can still make leishev. This is a very, very interesting Mishnah Berurah. I'm reading the last few lines of Siman Tov Reish Lamed Tes. So I'm in page 212. Can you see the second paragraph? This long, long, long Mishnah Berurah? Where they throws in a few shailas. I'm mamash towards the... very end of Tov Reish Lamed Tes, yeah. So he brings there that even if he has benched yet, he can still make leishev. Rabbi Yisai, even if he has benched... He can still make leishev. You're not comfortable with this?
How do you understand that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I can only understand that with Mishnah Berurah's general approach that he likes the Vilna Gaon, not really understanding why is it that we only make leishev. I think we mentioned it last year. Why do we only make leishev on eating? Everything you do in the sukkah is a mitzvah. If you eat, in the sukkah, you're mekayem mitzvah. If you sleep in a sukkah, you're mekayem mitzvah. If you schmooze in the sukkah, you're mekayem mitzvah. The mitzvah is teishvukah in to do. So the question on the contrary is, why is it that we generally only make the brachah leishev on eating? And that's why the Vilna Gaon held that actually, you can stretch it a bit more than just the eating. When you're doing other things as well, it's fine as well. So answering your question, how does it make sense that after benching you can make leishev? I can only understand it's Mishnah Berurah's psak with that Vilna Gaon that held, you just finished eating. All right, okay, but you're still there. You're still very much settled in the sukkah. You're still very much sitting in the sukkah. So you can still make leishev, provided you still stay there for a little bit. Yeah? I think that's how, it's all one kvi, as the Mishnah Berurah says. Right. Now, the last question that the Mishnah Berurah addresses, which I'm going to just very briefly throw in, is a question of what happens if a person, he made the lay shave, and he suddenly realized that the roof was still closed. What does he do then? It's a bochel batola. So despite the fact that there are some cholkin, the Mishnah Berurah holds, there are cholkin on that, but the Mishnah Berurah holds that it was a bochel batola, and therefore, if you realize it was closed, what you're going to do is you're going to open up the schach, and you're going to make a new lay shave. Yeah. What about Kiddush? You made Kiddush, you made Leishev, you made Amotzi, and you're right after the fish, you realize, forgot. What do you do now? Well, Kiddush is fine. So Mishnah Berurah paskens that despite the fact that you have messed up the Leishev, you've got to make a new Leishev, but the Kiddush is fine. Yeah, so you should make a new Leishev, and you have a bit more challah, and You could. It's no worse than the previous scenario. You probably could. But it's definitely better. Yeah, the first shiloh was, if you go into somebody else's sukkah, we said you make a new leishev. Second case, if you're eating anything which requires leishev, if you're not eating anything or just having shakel, you don't. Taka, yeah. The second case was, what happens if a person forgot to make leishev? So the Mishnah Berurah, and even after benching, Mishnah Berurah says, even after benching, you could still make a leishev, because it's still one kvias. And the third shaila, which you mentioned very briefly, is, if a person forgot to open up the sukkah and he realized he's deep into the meal, then he should make a new leishev, but he hasn't lost the Kiddush. Yeah. Now, he said you should eat kizayis. That leads us to Simon Tov Reish Mem Rabbi Yisai. So this is page 212, Simon Tov Reish Mem, Mima Pturim B'Shiva Sukkah, who is exempt. Now we're talking about not scenarios of exemptions, like we spoke previously, Mitztar, etc. No. Now we're talking about people who are exempt. Who are the people who are exempt intrinsically of mitzvahs, yeshivas, sukkah? Mishulchan Aruch mentions, noshim women, avodim slaves, ketanim and children, pturim in a sukkah, are exempt from eating in the sukkah. Tumtum ve'andrigenes, tumtum is sofek zocha, sor in a cave, andrigenes, simonim of both, chayov mesofek, they're both obligated. V'chein, tzonim is a chetzi eved, v'chetzi menchoin, somebody who is a half slave and half free, he is a man. He's also obligated because of the part of him which is obligated. So if you've got a semi-freed slave, you've got to take him into the sukkah. Have you got semi-freed slave? No, it might be a good idea. Yeah. No South Africans here? No. Yeah, okay. So why is it that women are exempt?
It's time bound. No.
It is. Says the Mishnah, we've gotten out of Noshim Avodim, Mishnah to have a mitzvah, Sasesh as Mangom, it's a time-bound mitzvah, for Noshim Pturois, and therefore women are exempt. The Eved, Dinakishons, and Eved, Avodim, slaves, have got the same halach then. Noshim, that time-bound mitzvahs are exempt. What about Birkas Leishev? What about Birkas Leishev with regards to the exempt? So if a woman wants to make leishev, can she? If an eved wants to make leishev, can he? Or would you say because they're exempt, they can't make a bracha? Can they make themselves?
They can't
make themselves. But can they make themselves a leishev? Why not? Says the Mishnah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, not so. According to us, when a bracha shiroitz leishev asuka and elzim and yudzayin, the nogin noshim levoch. The meaning of the women is to make leishev. Ochin achim levoch lehem, but others can't. They can make a bracha. Now, I want to point out that in the So a woman can make leishev. Because like by any time-bound mitzvahs, the Ashkenazish minhag is that for time-bound mitzvahs, women can make a brocha, despite the fact that, why would it make sense that they can't? What's the argument that women can't make a brocha? Exactly. And the brocha, the words of the brocha is? Asher kedushanu mitzvah v'tzivonu, you've commanded us. How can a woman say, you've commanded us, if they're not commanded? Exactly. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Sfadim do not allow that. The Sfadim will not make leishev.
But do you have it if a Sfadish woman makes the brach without realizing it's in the
batala? I don't know. According to the Sfadish, according to Shulchan Aruch, I don't know if it's brach batala. I don't know.
About sitzes, it says Asher sitzes. So why are you saying that about now? We said the typical reason. Women can't do it because.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why here are you saying it doesn't in the nusach of the brach precludes them?
Yeah, so Lemaisa, I'm explaining the opinion of many Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch. According to Asterim, according to Ramah, according to Ashkenazi Shiden, we allow, the Ramah says, despite the fact that they're not really commanded, but nevertheless they can make the bracha. Why can they make the bracha? Because it is a... Exactly. So the simple understanding is Betzivonu means there is such a mitzvah around for the males, there is such a mitzvah, the mitzvah exists, and therefore Betzivonu, there is an aspect of commandment there, and therefore they can make the bracha. And therefore, the minhag is that for all the time-bound mitzvahs, despite the fact that they're really exempt, they can make a bracha, and that includes also mitzvahs tzitzis. Mitzvahs le'ishiva sukkah. I want to point out that there are families who have a minhag, I think some Hungarian families, they have a minhag that the women will not make leishev. There is such a minhag. And if a person has got that minhag, l'chayre, one should stick to the minhag. I don't know exactly where it comes from. It may come from the fact that they often don't check, or they're often like in and out. So sometimes there's a certain consciousness that you need to have an awareness. And, you know, the chiyuv helps that. You know, you know, we spoke about finishing the crumbs in the sukkah. You know, we talked about, you know, these kind of, you need to be conscious and aware of it. And if a person is exempt, then, you know, sometimes you're going to finish off the, you can have a bit of ice cream in the kitchen, you can have a bit of, so there is that aspect of chiyuv, which, I'm not sure, so perhaps not checking the schach. So I wonder why, it could be that's why some women have the minhag of not making leishev, because they're not always so careful. I don't know. But Al-Kabonet, the Mishnah Berurah says, without problems, women can make the brach of leishev if that's their minhag. Now, says Shulchan Aruch Siv Beis, Katan she'eino tzorech le'emoy. What about children? Pre-bar mitzvah. Are they, what's the halacha there? So, Katan she'eino tzorech le'emoy, the halacha is a child. What does it mean, she'eino tzorech le'emoy? Eino tzorech le'emoy. He doesn't need his mother. What age would that be? When is a child able to be in the sukkah without his mother, say for the night, or say for an extended period of time? What age would you say? So Shulchan Aruch says, 5 or 6 years old. 5 or 6 years old, a child doesn't need his mother for that kind of period of time, and therefore is chai b'sukkah midi v'soifim kidei lecham chabemitz is a mitzvah chinuch. So, intrinsically, there is no... A child is potum mitzvah. However, there's a chinuch. When does chinuch start? Chinuch, there's a general rule over here. Chinuch only starts when the child is physically, mentally, emotionally able to do the mitzvah. That's true with any chinuch. What is a child capable of doing the mitzvah physically, emotionally, and when he's able to do it? So here also, if a child is able to be, let's say, the night, or for extended period in the sukkah without his mother, he doesn't need his mother, because if he does need his mother is not there. His mother is not in the sukkah. She doesn't have to be in the sukkah. So therefore, the chiyuv starts when ein tzorech le'emoy, which is about 5 or 6 years old. I agree. I would have said it's a bit quite generous, like 5 or 6 years old. Interesting, but that's what Shulchan Aruch passes. Mishabud does things if cotton dalet, kven chomesh, kven chesh, kol chad, kefum chofei. It's every child according to his own maturity, according to his charifus, according to his ability, cognitive and physical strength. So you could sometimes a bit earlier, a bit later. V'das kam achronim ben chomish v'lemalot, could be older than five. Im ovenu be'ir she'en etzoich ha'ku kachre, if his father's in town, then he doesn't need the mother so, much. M'chuv lechan chobesuka, afilu meinu chorif. So it depends very much on the situation and on the child's maturity and abilities. Now, sif kotten hey is actually a general rule, not only specifically with regards to mitzvah sukkah, lechan chobe mitzvah, v'imein lo yav. What happens if a child doesn't have a father? Chas v'sholem. So Yerush Oem, the Imoy Veizdin, Chayovim Lechancho. The mitzvah chinuch is not only on the father, but it will apply just as much to the mother or to the Beizdin. To the Beizdin, here. You've got a Beizdin of the town who is obligated to teach a child and to be Mechanechim. Certainly you cannot feed a child, say cake, outside of the sukkah, if it's Chayov v'chinuch. So here is got the mitzvah chinuch. Rabbi, so what? Any thoughts on that? So the chinuch of a child of eating in the sukkah starts 5-6 years old. What do you think about that? Yeah, it's quite young. Yeah. No, it does not. It means that whatever is required to be eaten in its chiyuv, whatever is the chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, he must eat in the sukkah. But certainly, whatever is not chiyuv, is not real chiyuv, he doesn't really need to eat in the sukkah. Such as peiros, shahakos, etc. Which doesn't, there's no real obligation, it's just ma'ariz and meshubach. Just like for an adult, it's great, but it's no obligation. So for the child also, it's great, but it's no obligation.
The sukkah's called a motri. We're not allowed to be machmir with kids.
About in terms of Mahamotzi.
Yeah,
so I want to talk about that. It's a very, very valid point. I agree with you. It's true. That sometimes we'll allow children who are older than 5 or 6 years old to even eat sandwiches outside of sukkah. So that is, despite the fact it's a bit controversial, but that is very, very connected to Seif Ches. So we'll address it in page 216 and Seif Ches will address it. Pardon? So there are people who are makbit, and there are people who are careful, because they don't feel comfortable with it, and they feel that it's a lack of chinuch. But you're right, it's true to say as well that many are lenient. The leniency will be understood once we learn Seif Ches, and we'll see then if it's a real leniency, or it's...
Otherwise, the danger is the kids are going to look back on Cholamos, and those are the days they went hungry. Because they were
to look back at it with a bit of a, you know, it wasn't geschmack, it was starving. Yeah, I hear that. So we're going to address it in Seif Ches, because Seif Ches speaks about Hol Chedrochim and in the outings, etc. Is there an argument to say that somebody who's an outing is not Chai Besuk in the first place? So we'll address that Mitzchem in Seif Ches. Sif Ches Rabbi Yisai Sif Gimel Cholim Mishamshem Pturim in a sukkah. Somebody who's unwell is exempt from sukkah. Mishamshem, not only the one who's not well, but even the Mishamish, the person who's helping, supporting the carer, is also exempt from sukkah. Why is he exempt? I understand the Cholim, but why is the carer exempt? That's right. Mishtabu says, if gotten zayn, absolutely, as the Gemara says, Misham Shen, if he's shayin oiskim b'mitzvah. A carer is oiskim b'mitzvah, and therefore potum b'mitzvah. For kol oiskim b'mitzvah, potum b'mitzvah. There is a strong argument that you could differentiate, Ksav Sofer speaks about that. So again, the person who's not well, he can't go into the sukkah, we get that. The carer we're learning now is oisig mitzvah potum na mitzvah, therefore he's also exempt. He can have his sandwich also outside of the sukkah. There's an argument to say that if he, oh, that's it. If he's paid, you could argue that what?
He's still obligated to do the mitzvah.
Very good. Many achronim want to say that if the carer gets paid, he's not exempt. Why? Why are you saying that? You're right. Many achronim say that. Why would you say that? It's not so much for the mitzvah. Why is he doing this for? Is he doing it for the mitzvah or is he doing it for the pay? So if he's a paid carer, you could argue it's not really much of an oisig mitzvah. I mean, it's a nice job and it's a nice thing to do. But at the end of the day, he's not really an oisig mitzvah so much. He's probably more of a pay. You know, if he's paid, it's probably more of his job. So therefore, you could argue that it's not so much oisig mitzvah, and therefore he's obligated to eat in the sukkah. Yeah, why not? It's a carrot. Why not? A carrot. Why not? Well, I think that you're feeling...
In a situation where he doesn't need to be attended. No, yeah. The patient doesn't need to be attended to.
You're saying how needy is he?
Yeah.
So
if he's being paid to look after him 24/7, then he can't leave him. No?
So keep going. So you're saying that since he is...
He's being paid to look after him on a 10-hour shift.
But if he's getting paid...
He can't walk away from that job.
And therefore...
He's a pastor.
He can still eat all of the things, right?
Sorry?
He can still eat all of the things. Would you say that somebody who's got a very, very good job in the city, would you say that he's working so hard he can't leave his job? He's got to, you know, he can eat outside of sukkah. How much is he?
Like you said, it depends how needy the patient is.
Might need a bathroom, whatever.
Yeah, that's it. He might need an emergency if it's an illness.
But why are you saying if he's paid, why are you saying, it's a paid job now, right? Why is it different than the lawyer in the city?
Because carers are usually paid to be there without, can't leave the person
alone. Okay, so good. So that's his job. So why does that exempt him from a yeshiva sukkah? Why is he therefore allowed to eat outside of the sukkah? Who says? Why can he now wash and eat outside of sukkah? Just because he's a carer, a paid job. If he's doing it as a mitzvah, I'm with you, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, Oisik b'mitzvah potur ben mitzvah. He's doing a great mitzvah. So he's exempt from mitzvah sukkah. However, he's getting paid, it's a job. It's a job. The mitzvah is on a lesser extent. Do you feel comfortable with that? You feel that even if he's getting paid, he should be able to...
One person could be doing the same job as a mitzvah, and another could be doing the same job being paid. So one person, you're saying... The difference is,
how much of a mitzvah is it once he's getting paid? How much of a mitzvah is it? He's like the lawyer in the city that's got no spare second to... So fine, so don't eat, don't wash.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, Rabbi, said to summarize the Renan this evening, we discussed... Three shilas at the beginning. We discussed firstly, somebody goes from one sukkah to the next, he makes a new leishev if he carries on eating there. He needs to make a new leishev if he goes into a new sukkah and eats there. We also spoke about somebody who forgot to make leishev. He can carry on making leishev later on, even if he's benched already, even if he's not eating anymore, he can still make a leishev on that kvias. And we also discussed the shilah of somebody forgets to make leishev. He doesn't have to repeat Kiddush, but he should still make a new leishev. We also spoke about women and avodim up, exempt from mitzvah sukkah. Tumtum avodim as a chayev. We spoke about a child. If he's over 5 or 6, he's got mitzvah chinuch. And we also spoke about a choyle that is exempt. And we discussed that a meshamesh of a choyle depends if he's getting paid or not. More on this tomorrow. Good evening.